This Weekend starts right after this.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Weekend with your host, Gordon Deal.
Gauging the mood of voters. Thanks for being with us. I'm Gordon Deal. Here's what's coming up this hour. There's one word that sums up how scores of American voters feel these days. Here are the results of a new survey. Also, on the medical front, the new approaches hospitals are taking to reduce your pain. Plus, the new trend on dating sites found out the habit that can really work against you. And for sports fans, as you plop down for a weekend of football or baseball, be mindful of how long you're on the couch.
We spent most of our life worried about smoking, worried about the red meat, worried about the lack of exercise or the type of exercise we weren't doing. And it turns out it's just a sitting. All along, it's just a sitting. The sitting is what's going to put us in the grave.
Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay with a story about sitting so much to watch sports. He's also got a solution. He's here later in the hour. One word to describe the mood of the American voter right now: surly. That's the takeaway from the latest Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll. But there is some optimism here. More from Journal reporter Janet Hook in Washington. Janet, give us some findings.
Well, it's really a confusing and mixed picture that we get of American voters. The background noise really is very, very grim. People are thinking that the country's off on the wrong track. We have this classic polling question: is America on going in the right direction or on the wrong track? And 62% said the wrong track. And it's been like that for 11 years now, that more people think we're on the wrong track than going in the right direction.
Wow.
We also asked people whether they were feeling angry about the political system or anxious about the economy, and 80% of Americans said one or the other. So it's kind of a grim picture. There were a couple findings, though, that suggested a little bit more optimism. When we asked people whether they were confident and optimistic about their own financial situation, more than half said they were. So,
okay.
So you know, there's a little ray of hope coming through the gloom.
When people talk about the wrong track, do they offer specifics as to what they mean? Do they mean economically or morally?
Well, the question is simply right track, wrong direction. So, I mean, it's just a poll question, and it's kind of a consistent measure. I mean, I think if we look at this other question that we asked about anger and anxiety, it seems like more people expressed anger about the political system than anxiety about the economy.
Wow. All right. Do they tend to do that more around election time, or, you know, are there some politics at play here?
We're really quite far from the election at this point. I mean, we're a whole more than a year away from election time. I do think that, you know, a lot of the frustration is expressed about Congress when Congress isn't doing what people want it to do, as much as about the presidential candidates.
Yeah. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook about the latest feelings of voters. She tracks their mood in the latest Wall Street Journal and NBC News poll. All right. So also, you said this is 11 years running where more people feel we're on the wrong track.
Yeah, it's been a very long period. I mean, part of it is, you know, the long expanse of the 2008-09 recession and the slow recovery from that. One thing that I thought was interesting, though, was to get some more nuance into how people are feeling. I looked at the the breakdown of the people who expressed optimism about their personal economic circumstance, it actually was a very uneven thing. In some parts of the country, among some demographic groups, people were more optimistic and others were more pessimistic. And so I thought that was sort of interesting to see. For example, men are generally more optimistic about their economic circumstances than women. Like among men, 59% said they were optimistic about their financial circumstances. And women, only 47%. When you look at ethnic groups, Hispanics were more optimistic than whites or blacks. Looking by region, the Midwest, not surprisingly, it was the least optimistic. So, like I said, there's some parts of the country and some groups where things are looking up.
Wow. Why the Midwest with that sort of pessimistic look? Any reason why?
Well, they're probably still recovering from, you know, the manufacturing base of the country is in real upheaval. And, you know, some parts of the Midwest are recovering, but they were particularly hard hit by the recession.
Right, right. And how about the West? Most upbeat, right? Despite, how many years of drought and the threat of earthquakes, wildfires, 60% said they're optimistic.
Yeah, I don't know. Beats me. I mean, there's one thing that I see in a lot of the breakdowns that the groups that tend to be more optimistic are the ones that are dominated by the areas dominated by Democrats. And actually, if you look just by party, Democrats are more optimistic than Republicans. Now, that may be a function of, I think in general, we find that when people see a member of their own party in the White House, they feel generally more upbeat about the direction of the country. And that may be one of the threads that runs through a lot of these findings.
Thanks, Janet. Wall Street Journal reporter Janet Hook, who's based in our nation's capital. 12 minutes after the hour on This Weekend. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com.
With pain control consistently ranking near the top on patient satisfaction surveys, hospitals are training staffers to make it a bigger priority than the past. That's a trend we can all embrace. Wall Street Journal health writer Laura Landreau says hospitals are trying to take the hurt out of common medical procedures. Laura, how so?
Anyone who's been in a hospital or an emergency room knows there's a lot of needles. I think there's something like 2.7 million needle sticks a day in the United States. It's one of the most common medical procedures. Venipuncture is what it's called. It even sounds hurtful.
Yeah.
And that and some of the other things that happen in hospitals that hurt shouldn't have to because there are things they can do about them, but often they don't. So I think what's happening now with more concern about patient satisfaction and patient friendliness, you're seeing more efforts to basically take the hurt out of healthcare.
All right. So you mentioned venipuncture and the way that sounds. When I was reading your story, I actually got that that adrenaline rush through
right.
my body when I read hard for clinicians to manipulate limbs for accurate x-rays. I just felt my arm sort of going
exactly.
to
the... Right. Well, you know, somebody comes into the ER with one of the kids I spoke to came into the emergency room. He ended up having a fractured, he had tibias and fibulas and everything was broken. His foot was dislocated from a very bad sports injury, but they still have to get an x-ray.
Yeah.
And so what they did for him was they gave him a fast-acting nasal spray. It's like fentanyl, which is a very popular drug, but it doesn't have to have a needle. It can be done through the nose, and it takes effect very quickly just to make it. He said his pain went from a 10 to a 5 so that it didn't hurt so much for him to, you know, straighten out and get those x-rays.
Oh my goodness. All right, so did it actually partially knock him out?
No, this is really what just a painkiller. It's something that, you know, it's a fast-acting analgesic. A sedative is something else. You know, when it's time to actually start operating, that's when you get the anesthesia.
Right.
And but this is really something that removes pain. And I must say, having had it, it does a very good job. If you're not sensitive to it.
Got it. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal health writer Laura Landreau. Her piece is called "New Devices Take the Pain Out of Hospital Visits." All right, stitches, another one.
Well, you know, we all know, I mean, a little kid even sees the, you know, a needle and thread coming towards them and gets upset. The stitches, they're now using a very interesting glue. It's sort of, I think they call it Dermabond. And the idea is that it literally seals the wound. It's like a skin adhesive, and it repairs the wounds much as stitches do. But it basically forms a strong bond, you know, across the wound edges and allowing normal healing.
And then, so what do? You pick it off like a scab when you think it's done, or how does it come
off? Well, when it's done, it basically, you know, just sort of, you know, it just sort of, unlike stitches, which have to be taken out,
yeah. It
basically starts to, you know, you can peel off, or it starts to just, you know, disintegrate, basically, as I understand it.
Got it.
One of the doctors I said, he said, you know, if we're inflicting pain on people, we have to do everything we can to minimize it. So I think that's what's happening. Doctors and nurses in the hospital have ways to minimize your pain.
So how widespread is this stuff in general?
Well, you're starting to see this very much in pediatrics because, you know, for children, once they've had a bad experience in a hospital, they're terrified of doctors and terrified of needles forever. And, you know, if they can sort of really make them feel, you know, don't worry, we're not going to hurt you. They actually call it the philosophy in a lot of these emergency rooms I spoke to out in UCLA at UCLA Medical Center in Santa Monica and across the coast in Stony Brook Children's Hospital in New York. They basically call it ouchless medicine. And, you know, you can't take all the ouch away is what one of the doctors said to me, but we're going to do the best we can. I think one of the things that is important is just the idea that as a patient, you don't have to put up with this. It's always important to ask, if you know you have a needle phobia, and if you know that your child is very afraid of needles, really what you have to do if they're not offering this is to ask for it.
Yeah,
because these are things that are not, you know, they have these things in-house most of the time. They have, you know, like I said, some of them are still in the experimental stage, but they have that lidocaine cream. They have devices that'll make it easier to find a vein. But one of the, you know, problems, and again, doctors admit this, is we know what to do. We just don't often do it. It isn't always taught as a priority.
Thanks, Laura. Wall Street Journal health writer Laura Landreau, who's based in New York. 21 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. A writer at Kiplinger's Personal Finance has a question for you. Are you really still subscribing to cable? This Weekend's Jennifer Koschenka has another look at cutting the cord and saving money.
If you're thinking about ditching cable or satellite TV, now may be the time, since there are a lot more choices these days than just Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon. Here to break it down for us is Lisa Gerstner of Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Lisa, what's step one in trying to decide if you should cut the cord?
Sure. Well, the first thing you need to do is kind of decide what are my must-haves, you know, among your cable channels, which are the ones that you really can't live without. And then go from there and see if you can find some good streaming options or things you can get with an antenna to kind of replace that for a lower price. And at that point, you just need to do some math. Okay, you know, what's my cable bill compared with what I would pay for internet? And you have to consider that your internet bill might shoot up if you unbundled it from a package, you know, plus any streaming options that you pick up.
How do you decide among all those different options for streaming, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera?
You kind of got to look in there, you know, see kind of what the different options are. One really interesting kind of promising new one is called Sling TV, which is actually live TV over the web. It's $20 a month, and you get more than 20 channels, including ESPN, which that's a big deal for sports fans. There was really no way to get ESPN without cable before. AMC, HGTV, CNN are all included. So those are some good ones. Also look up what you can get locally from broadcast stations. You can get kind of a simple set of rabbit ears, even if you live close to the transmitter in the city. If you're more rural, maybe get a bigger antenna to play outside. And you can really get a lot that way, you know, PBS, NBC, CBS, and so on.
Now, of course, you mentioned ESPN. I am a huge sports fan. What if the team I want to watch is not on that and you start adding things back in? Doesn't that just add up?
It can. It certainly can. Sports is a little tricky. It depends on who your team is and what you want to watch. If you like local teams, you might have more trouble doing it without cable because a lot of times those are with regional sports networks only, and other stations black them out. You know, even if you try to get one of those streaming packages for a specific sport, so for example, MLB and NBA have packages that you can buy to watch season or games all season. However, they don't show the local games because of blackouts. So those can be good if you're a transplant. You know, maybe you moved to New York from LA and you still want to watch the LA teams. But again, it's one of those situations you just got to look at what you can get and kind of decide from there.
Yeah, if you had one thing on one service that you liked and you added in another and another, do you not just go back to where you started with cable?
You certainly can. That's something you got to watch out for. But sometimes the pricing can still be pretty good. For example, I mentioned Sling TV. If you pick that up for $20, you get Netflix for $9, and then maybe once in a while you buy a la carte things on things like iTunes, you know, a couple bucks an episode, you're still probably going to be in the, you know, 30-something dollar range per month.
Now, Lisa, what about the hardware that you need for these things? Is everything different for each service?
There are some differences. You got to look at which devices it's compatible with. You know, there are a lot of different ways to do it now, too. A lot of TVs now come with applications that you can stream straight to your TV, which is really nice. You just got to check, okay, if I want to watch Netflix, does my TV have that app? Other things, sometimes Blu-ray players have different ways to do it. Video gaming consoles like the PlayStation or the Xbox. And then, of course, you have your dedicated devices. Roku is a good one. It has really a lot of different channels. So more likely than not, you'll be able to do it with a Roku. There's the Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast. There's a lot of options that way, too.
We've heard a lot about younger people taking this route. Are older folks doing this, too?
You know, they might be a little more hesitant. You know, they're kind of used to having cable. So I do think it is something that more younger people are doing. You hear a little bit more about it that way. But, you know, it's certainly a good option for everyone who's interested in trying it.
Lisa, bottom line, can you quantify the savings or do you really have to do it on an individual basis? Like on average, how much can you save doing this?
I don't have an average. I think it is kind of an individual thing, seeing, you know, what the best deal you can get is. You know, shop around if your internet bill goes up because you unbundled your package. Call other providers and see if they'll lower it for you. Or, you know, maybe you can match that with your current provider.
What is the cable company's response to all this? They know it's coming. They see it coming. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we'll eventually get to the point where we can order what we want from our cable companies?
It's possible. I think they're already getting into this in the fact that they own some of these streaming services we're talking about. For example, Sling TV is owned by Dish, the satellite company. Comcast is coming out with a streaming option. You know, by early next year, it should be in all of their major markets. So I think they're definitely joining in there. You know, selling channels a la carte, we'll have to wait and see. You know, that could actually be more costly for the consumer depending on how they price that. So kind of a double-edged sword there.
This weekend's Jennifer Koschenka with Lisa Gerstner at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Weekend. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. Well, celebrities, as you know, often make news for the wrong reasons, right? Too often they don't get headlines for the right reasons. That said, you have to admire actor Denzel Washington's commitment to the Boys and Girls Club of America. He's been a member since the age of 6 and now a national spokesman for the group for nearly 25 years. He was on hand as Whitney Stewart of Sarasota County, Florida, was named the grand prize winner of the National Youth of the Year Award. Both join us now. Whitney, what's your story?
So, I mean, I was definitely dealing with a lot of hardships before I started going to the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, dealing with those hardships definitely started to get the best of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to the Boys and Girls Club at just the right time in my life. And, I mean, it was amazing because I was able to connect with mentors at the club who cared about me and cared about my brothers and cared about all of the other club kids that I was seeing every single day. And they just showed me that the hardships that I face in my life don't define me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do anything and be anyone that I set my mind to do and be. And it's just been an incredible experience, one that will definitely last a lifetime, because once you're a club kid, you're always a club kid.
How old were you when you started?
I started going to the Boys and Girls Club when I was 11.
So I know that word mentor is not one that's thrown around lightly at the Boys and Girls Club of America. And I know, Denzel, you take that role seriously also. Explain, I guess, what that meant for you as well, since Whitney mentioned the positive impact of a mentor.
Well, when I was coming up, I don't remember anybody using that word. You just had positive people around you. I mean, yes, on days like today, I show up and we do interviews and things like that. But for me, and I'm sure for many young people today, it's really that hands-on person that you could go to at the club at any time and share your innermost secrets or look for advice or. You know, it's just those day-to-day relationships. Those are the real heroes or mentors, if you will, that do the day-to-day work.
We're speaking with Denzel Washington, Academy Award-winning actor and Boys and Girls Club of America alum, and also Whitney Stewart, the newly named grand prize winner of the National Youth of the Year Award for the Boys and Girls Club. So this may sound a bit hokey, and it may be difficult to answer as a teenager, but what if not for the Boys and Girls Club of America, Whitney? What could have happened, for example?
I mean, a whole host of things could have happened if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Club. I personally credit the Boys and Girls Club for saving my life, because, I mean, I didn't think that I was worth anything, you know, before stepping into the Boys and Girls Club, but... You know, they definitely put me on the right path just to see my value and my potential.
Do you feel that way too, Denzel, when you think back? Could something bad have happened if you had not had the club to turn to?
Well, yes. I mean, certain bad things did happen to friends of mine who didn't stick with the club, actually. And there's no question that it is a safe haven. That is, it's not a cliche, but as they say, a positive place for young people. And I credit the Boys and Girls Club with really turning my life around.
Actor Denzel Washington with Whitney Stewart, Sarasota County, Florida. That's a good one on a resume, right? Boys and Girls Club of America, grand prize winner of the National Youth of the Year Awards. 21 minutes before the hour. There appears to be some inconsistency with customer support at Apple if you're having an issue with one of its products. More from tech analyst Rob Enderle, principal of the Enderle Group in San Jose, California. Rob, explain.
Well, so a bunch of us got an email from a woman named Diane Katz, who's a PhD that specializes in team building. And what had happened is she'd woken up one day and tried to do her email, and she had the spinning wheel of death that Apple customers often get if something's not connecting and email wasn't working. So she called Apple support, and Apple support said, "Oh, I know, we know what your problem is. You need a new hard drive," and then proceeded to sell her a $650 hard drive and then walked her through the process of replacing the drive on her laptop with a new SSD hard drive. And of course, as anybody technical would probably realize, that's not going to fix an email problem, and it didn't. It becomes a cautionary tale here, because we have an awful lot of folks, you know, calling in and pretending that they're support. You can always get a very bad text, and that appears, because I've heard stories coming from people that use Apple products now for a little over a year, that Apple's focusing a little bit too much on moving product, like selling you a new hard drive, and not enough on actually fixing your problem. And certainly not enough when they take somebody out of business, which is what they basically did with this woman, in terms of making things right.
Wow. All right, so one incident does not necessarily a crisis make, but is there a larger issue here that you're sensing?
Yeah, well, part of it is really the technical capability of the user has dropped quite a bit over the years. I mean, it used to be when you used a PC, you gained a certain amount of technical competence because you were always having to reboot it or rebuild it or something because they were very reliable. But now they're almost like appliances, whether you're talking about a Windows machine tell me to do something, it's not the right thing to do. And so you've got to be very cautious. And if anybody's, one is if you're dealing with somebody over the phone and they're doing something invasive, like, you know, having you replace a hard drive, or specifically if they're having you delete files anyplace, make sure you've backed that thing up. And with the Apple products, you do typically have the option of going into an Apple store. And what we discovered during this particular email incident was that the stores and Apple tech support supposedly don't talk to each other very much. And so they're not sharing information at all.
Yeah. We're speaking with tech analyst Rob Enderle. This does speak to a certain point about a comment that a Wall Street Journal tech writer had made about Apple being a happy trap for some people, but it can be a trap.
It's exactly that. It's one of the problems when you've got a lock-in strategy, which is the one that Apple has, in that if you're mistreated, you really can't jump to another vendor. You're effectively locked in. And the problem with that for the vendor is, particularly when you're under a lot of pressure to meet quarterly financial report guidelines or projections, is to start mining the customers for money and doing things like, you know, commissioning support people for selling hardware, which I think is probably what happened here. Is there probably some kind of an incentive for tech support to convince you to buy a new hard drive, and that's why he jumped to the hard drive, because he wants to get a commission. That's never a good thing. And if you can switch, that fear of you switching will keep the customer the company from doing stuff like this. But if they don't have a fear of you leaving them, then their motivation not to abuse you is removed. And we certainly saw IBM do that in the late 80s. And they almost went out of business because customers did eventually figure out how to switch. And the same thing can happen to Apple if they're not careful. But yeah, that whole lock-in thing where you don't have a choice of going to another customer, you know, we see that with our cable companies, and that's why they've got the lowest customer satisfaction scores on the planet. If you can avoid that with any vendor, you're probably going to be happier long-term.
Thanks, Rob. It's Rob Enderle, tech analyst and principal of the Enderle Group. It's 13 minutes before the hour.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
If you've got plans for some serious couch time watching football this weekend, keep this in mind. A fresh round of warnings about sitting idle. The medical community is warning us about the long-term health risks of sitting. Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay, though, tongue-in-cheek, says it's confirmed watching sports will slowly kill us all. But he's not without solutions. Jason, set this up.
Yes, listen, we spent most of our life worried about smoking, worried about the red meat, worried about the lack of exercise, and it turns out it's just a sitting. And study after study seems to make it very clear that sitting is now considered a form of sedentary behavior with increased incidence of cancer diagnoses, cardiovascular issues, and beyond.
And the NFL does not do us any favors with these three-and-a-half-hour games either.
The reality is that one is that you could watch all the games sort of standing and jogging in place. I don't know if you have that in you for a Jets game. Another option for you, of course, is the sort of workstation approach. You know, you might have friends who have standing desks at work now. It's becoming more and more common. You could have the similar type of situation for your television setup, Gordon, and you could even implement some kind of treadmill or, you know, elliptical machine. Most of us just like to flop on the couch with potato chips and beer. But, you know, we're talking about saving lives here.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. His piece is called Sports Sitting Will Kill Us All. So with regards to saving lives, and I know that's been your longstanding commitment as long as you've been writing, the standing Super Bowl party you suggested, I think, would be an enormous trend-setting hit.
So the idea that I propose is a standing Super Bowl party, and it's a little bit of a surprise standing Super Bowl party. What you do is you invite all your friends over to the house for the Super Bowl, and you just don't tell them it's a standing party. They're all invited to the house, and then they get there, and all the furniture is out on the street. Go into the TV room, and there's no couch, there's no Barca lounger, there's no beanbag chair. It's just four walls and a hard floor, and no sitting on the floor, Gordon, no keg stands either. You are standing up, jogging in place, watching this Super Bowl party. And at halftime, I think everybody should go for a light jog.
Now, to be
fair, it would be the worst Super Bowl party in history.
But
your friends would probably never speak to you again.
And as a good host, you're still supplying food and drink. I mean, what's there to complain about? You're saving lives
right.
and
if
feeding
If you can't
them.
Stand and eat at this point in life, Gordon, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I think everything that you're capable of doing sitting down, we're all perfectly capable, it seems, of looking at our phone walking down the street. So I see no issues for people in a standing sports environment.
You know, that made me think, too, of baseball and golf. While there's not, at least for me, sitting, it's more of lying down on the couch. You know, will there ultimately be repercussions from that? Because when those sports come on, I tend to just lie down and close my
eyes. Well, what about one of those inverted, you know, boot things where you put your feet up on a pull-up bar and you hang upside down, kind of like Tom Cruise in some sort of workout video, and then you can watch television that way? That might be better for you. But you mentioned golf. In thinking about this, I was also thinking about live viewing of sporting events, Gordon. And anybody who's gone to a stadium or arena in recent years knows that stadiums are all about the new accoutrements. We are not encouraging standing up at sporting events anymore.
You're right.
You know, and this is also a health hazard.
Thanks, Jason. Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. With crimes against grammar rising in the age of social media, some people are beginning to take action. The online dating world is a prime battleground. The Wall Street Journal says a growing number of singles are picky about the grammar graphs they're seeing on dating sites. For love, these folks say written communications matter, from the correct use of semicolons to understanding the difference between its and its, IT apostrophe S. There's even an app that ranks the message quality of prospective dates called The Grade. The app checks messages for typos and grammar errors and assigns each user a letter grade from A+ to F. The Grade demotes people whose messages contain certain abbreviations like what's up and YOLO, which is short for you only live once. Grammarly analyzed spelling errors on dating site eHarmony. A man with two spelling errors on the site, 14% less likely to receive a positive response compared with a man with zero. Thanks for listening to This Weekend.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service, making it better. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be at the spa." But today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on, but transforming communications for your business with award-winning cloud-based solutions. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.